The following is an Auburn Network production. You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well on this March 3rd, 2026. This is On the Line, the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is the Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us here on an overcast Tuesday afternoon in the Auburn Opelika area. You've got us for the next 2 hours, whether you like it or not. We're here, and we're going to have a good time. We appreciate you being with us. Tons to get to on today's show. College basketball, college baseball, a whole lot more on the show today. And Christian and I might actually talk today for a little bit and have a segment or two, because yesterday, my goodness, it was dominated by phone calls and text messages from up in arms, angry Auburn fans, and rightfully so. We may get some more today. We hope so, but we should have a lot of fun with you this afternoon. Christian, happy Tuesday, sir. How are you?
Happy Tuesday. Man, a whole lot going around in the Auburn Opelika area here tonight. You mentioned Auburn baseball, Auburn basketball. We're talking both of those here on the show today. And yeah, nice for you to have your voice rested up for another day as you near closer to the Final Four. But I mean, what a good problem to have. We kind of sat there yesterday and wondered what everything was going to look like. Was it going to be one of those days with a lot of callers, or was it going to be one of those games where everybody just kind of put the bow on the season? It was a little bit of a checkout. It was anything but that. You had a lot of really, really good conversations, and again, we're hoping those continue here this afternoon. We're starting the conversation off with bracketology, as Joe Lunardi has officially updated his bracketology this morning, and Auburn's officially on the outside looking in. The very first team out, according to Mr. Lunardi. Where do others stand in the SEC or the top 25, or teams that we said that we might trust, or teams that we just say that we will not trust? Who are some of the biggest risers, the biggest fallers in this edition of Bracketology? We'll also take the emotion away from what the season has been, and I guess can be, and talk about the reality of, if Auburn goes 1-1, do they make the tournament? If this is a win tonight and a loss to Alabama, what happens with the last four in and the first four out? So we'll talk about some of those teams, what those upcoming schedules look like, just to see if Auburn even has a path with a win tonight, if they can make it into the postseason tournament. And then for that hour, we turn into Auburn baseball conversations, where we talk about the recap of the weekend win, a series win over Nebraska, what happened in game one, the responses in game two and three, the starting pitching still really, really good, and the bats are coming to life as the temperature continues to rise. And then we have a fun little conversation with a guest from Auburn baseball, as we do to start hour number two every single Wednesday. All of that coming up here in the first little bit, I guess just over an hour here in the Tuesday edition of On the Line.
Yeah, every Tuesday, that's right. And hey, in case you were wondering what happened in Birmingham this morning in the 3A boys semifinal for the state tournament, the team that you saw is on to the finals. Montgomery Academy continues to roll, brother. I know
what?
You're not surprised.
No
I know,
way.
I know you're not surprised by that. But yeah.
What about the 3A girls? Do you have that bracket pulled up as well?
I can. Yeah, Montgomery Academy on the boys. They beat Lauderdale County by 10 this morning. They await the winner of Southside Selma and Whitesburg Christian Whitesburg Christian. I don't know where that is. So that's the 3A boys. Everything started yesterday. The semifinals and the finals all rolling through up in Birmingham. The 3A girls bracket got it pulled up right here for you.
As I have a weird feeling we saw a team that's still playing as
the
well.
The state semifinals. Yes, you are. you are correct. You have, the championship is set. Mobile Christian beat Glencoe by 13 to get to the state championship game in girls 3A, and St. James beat Mars Hill Bible by 20.
Yeah.
76-56. But I will say this, and I wish I could find the tweet because I liked it last night. It was by the Hewitt Trustful varsity basketball coach, and I cannot remember his name. But he sent out a tweet last night, and somebody that I follow retweeted it. It's the only reason I saw it. But he was talking about over the past couple of years here in the state of Alabama in high school basketball, the margin of victory over the last several seasons in the Elite Eight, semifinals, and finals. Yeah. And it's double digits in every game right now. And it's because of how the postseason is set up and how bad it is. I mean, just how you play the same team, you get matched up with your region, you have, it's just, there needs to be some changes in high school basketball postseason here in the state of Alabama. It was a remarkable tweet. I didn't retweet it, I just liked it, but he had gone back and done some of the research, and yeah, the average margin of victory the last several years in the Elite Eight, Final Four, and state championship games for high school basketball in Alabama, double-digit margin of victory the last several seasons.
I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, you saw that St. James beat Lee Scott relatively badly, and then Midfield beat Montgomery Academy by 30, and then St. James goes and beats Midfield by 15. And so it's like that little Montgomery little side of the bracket right there is dominated,
it's
usually by the St. James team. And I know that a bunch of teams see it this exact same way. And so credit to Mobile Christian on a great year.
Eric in Auburn says that Montgomery Academy could give Gonzaga a game.
It probably could.
I don't know what if that says more about Montgomery Academy or less about Gonzaga. I think it says less about Gonzaga. That's what I think. I think it says that Gonzaga is not a real program. No, I'm just kidding.
Ooh.
They're flirting with it, though. If they don't join a conference, man, I'm telling you what.
That's crazy, though, just to see the guys on Montgomery Academy for basketball. All those guys are going to play football. There's receivers that are on that basketball team that they're leading scorers that give you 12, 14, 16 a game, and you know they have a couple of 6'8 guys. I remember Jarrett Friendly, he averages like 12 and 10, and will be able to go wherever he wants. A couple other guys in there that are, you know, I mentioned it on the broadcast, are deciding whether or not they want to spend their future in Jordan-Hare Stadium, yet we're watching them play high school basketball right now. And so,
they're about to be state champions.
Freak athletes, for sure. Back-to-back state champions if they win it. So,
Just want to update you on that. What's going on up in Birmingham? Yeah. 3A games going on today.
You also hurt my feelings talking Braves earlier to get the show.
Yeah, I figured you wanted to lead off the show today with Jerickson Profar, who will not see action for 2 years in a row now for the Atlanta Bravos. Because he didn't get caught once using performance-enhancing drugs. He got caught twice.
Mike Yastrzemski, welcome to left field, right field, center field, and the starting rotation for game two of every single series.
Yeah.
It's pain.
That's so bad, man. And our buddy Lindsey Crosby, today wasn't the day. We'll get him in here once Major League Baseball comes back around and get him on consistently as our baseball guy. He put out a video today of Braves today, and he lit him up, dude, and rightfully so. He borderline called it. Well, he did call it stupid, and basically called the guy an idiot. Because it's like, man, you've got it made. You've got it made. He was going to make $15 million, Christian,
regardless,
with the Atlanta Braves.
Regardless if he hit 120 or 320.
So who cares? Quit taking the drugs. Quit doing it. And Lindsey made a great point because the first time last year when he missed, what, half the season because of it by a first offense, right? Yeah. There was some drug that I don't know how to pronounce it, and by goodness, I'm not going to try. But some drug that apparently females take during pregnancy to help with something. I'm not going to act like I know what it is. But there could have been some sort of argument for him when his wife was pregnant a year ago that something could have happened. He could have had it in his system, right? He could have used that as an excuse as a first-time offender. But you get caught with it again, and that's not going to work. So there you go. The Braves just watched their designated hitter get suspended for the season. Good news is the Braves saved money, though. Braves saved some cash. I'm sure they'll use it. I'm sure they'll spend it in the right place.
Yeah, they're perfectly fine with just giving it all to the right fielder. I'm sure that it will be, you know, all perfectly fine once.
I'm sure they'll save that up. Yeah, for when Acuna asks for a major raise. I'm sure they're banking that money away right now. Are the Braves? They're preparing to make him a competitive offer.
For what it's worth, talking spring training, you have Team USA taking on the San Francisco Giants right now. Have you seen how stacked Team USA is for the World Baseball Classic?
No, I haven't.
Oh my goodness! Here, let me read you.
Profar no longer qualifies for the World Baseball Classic. I know that.
Unfortunately not. And I guess unfortunately not, Ronald Acuna is not with the Team United States, unfortunately. But no, they just got it underway. Bryce Harper's hitting second. I'm trying to pull it up right now, and he just hit a double. So Lindor is going to go around. No, it's not Lindor. Who is it? That is he coming around to score? He's not. I guess I should have had this pulled up.
This is great radio.
It is. It's really, really good radio. Talking spring training ball, because that's what everybody wanted to talk about when we said we were going to talk about the World Baseball Classic, which is really, really cool. I can't even get this pulled up, so we're just going to continue waiting for it here. So bracketology is going off right now for Joe Lunardi.
I'm actually currently looking something up that somebody texted us in our text box. By the way, I don't think we said this. We're bad show hosts. Phone lines are open today if you'd like to be a part of the show. We'd love for you to do so. Give us a call, 334-321-1390. No, you wait. 334-321-1390, or the text box is open at 334-784-1067. Several of you have already texted us in there. Go ahead, Christian.
I did finally find it.
Congrats.
It wasn't – I had to – go to other social media.
It's okay. Just get
pages.
There.
But Aaron Judge just hit a 2-run single in at bat number one to take him to a 2-0 lead. It's Bobby Witt, Bryce Harper, Aaron Judge, Kyle Schwarber, Alex Bregman, Cal Raleigh, Roman Anthony, Byron Buxton, Bryce Terang, and Paul Skeens.
Who?
To which one?
Exactly. Yeah, that's pretty stacked.
That's just today's lineup.
That's ridiculous. How do you even go against that? I just don't show up. That's like.
Do you see what Skubal is doing? Tarek Skubal, again, the pitcher for the Tigers, he's going and he's, you know, doing his preseason bullpens, things like that. He's going to go pitch, but he's going to throw 55 pitches and then return back to the Tigers spring training. A man's going to go and throw 4 innings against the nobody team and just absolutely shove.
Just because he can.
And then just go back to the Tigers spring training club.
Are major league teams in the World Baseball Classic, are they as harsh? Because, and what brings this up is what we just saw with the National Hockey League with guys playing in the Olympics. Major league teams aren't overly anal about that. They're not overly mad about it by guys competing in the World Baseball Classic.
No, I mean,
I haven't seen a whole lot of it, but I didn't know if you had seen anything about it.
No, and the coolest thing about it, which for anybody that wants to complain about that or any managers that want to complain about it, you hear what Paul Skeens says. Because, again, Paul Skeens started at Air Force.
Oh, yeah.
And that was he actually shoved against LSU and hit a home run. And that was kind of what brought him on the radar, which allowed him to go to LSU. But he talked about how he almost had his heart set on serving in the military and how being invited to something like this is nowhere near the sacrifice of serving, but he feels like it's a close second for what he gets to wear on his chest.
It's pretty damn cool.
It's hard to...
Pretty cool!
Hard to make a hard to counter argument anything like that.
Yeah, no doubt about it. Well, while you were looking that up, I was looking up something else that somebody texted us in our text box. Again, we started the show talking a little high school basketball. We're going to end up taking a break and coming back and talking about college basketball. But someone texted in, and I had not seen this. They said, look up the first 6 games being played yesterday, or the first 6 games being played in the AHSAA Final Four, in the basketball Final Four, on a court that was not set up correctly. So it's bad look
that.
For the AHSAA. Yeah. I'm reading this right now.
They had to go get the level in the
Yep.
I almost said the ruler. Definitely not the ruler.
Both hoops had to be brought down.
Yeah.
They were too high. They were not at the correct height. No official reason was given, and the AHSAA staff told media that all questions would need to go through the executive director. Gosh. They had to measure the height and distance between the goals and within certain parts of the floor.
It's like those videos of Steph, when he's just dribbling and he sees like a dead spot in the floor and he just feels it just by dribbling and he goes and gets it checked out, or he misses back-to-back threes off the front of the rim and they get it looked at and it turns out that the rim was actually tilting up a little bit. Like, it's things like that. It's just wild.
Yeah, this article says not only did they measure the height and width of like the hoops and where they were, at one point it says a measurement of the court's length and width appeared to be taken as well. Good Lord. This is at the BJCC. This is at Legacy Arena in Birmingham.
Yeah, so when your game on 9 o'clock Thursday morning, if you don't mind getting there at like 7, go ahead.
I'm going to ask for a review.
Yeah,
I'm going to bring
your
ladder.
Measurements.
Yeah, I'm going to bring a ladder and climb up there. And don't mind me.
Instead of forwarding your questions, just I'll answer them all right here.
I'll take it myself, brother. Yeah. I brought a tape measure and a level and a wrench if needed. Like, no, I had not seen this. Thank you to whoever that was that texted us, because That's a bad look. That's a bad look, no doubt about it. Well, all right, we're officially 15 minutes in, and we've covered several topics that were not on the rundown. So, tell you what, we'll take a break. We'll come back, and we will talk bracketology.
We'll dive into the show.
Yeah, we'll start the show when we come back. Phone lines are open again. Give us a call. We'd love for you to be a part of it. 334-321-1390. We talk bracketology with Auburn on the outside looking in. We do that next.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, I guess we'll start the show now. I guess we'll talk about what we had on the schedule, which is Auburn in bracketology, or Auburn and bracketology. Is Auburn considered in bracketology since they're on the screen, they're on the page? You do, in fact, see their logo and their name.
They are in bracketology. They are not in the bracket.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. I think that's very accurate.
You have to scroll below the brackets and in between where you see the number of teams that we have said will not get in for the SEC, and the reason is because of Auburn right now.
Yeah, but man, look at where the Tigers are. They're front and center, baby. Auburn's front and center.
Yeah, their logo's at the very top, baby.
Can't miss them, baby. Auburn is front and center for the wrong reason.
As the first team out.
First team out, according to Joe Lunardi today in his latest bracketology at ESPN.com. And nobody is surprised, right? Nobody's shocked that Auburn is not in the tournament right now because of what has happened. You have lost 7 of your last 8 games. You just took your worst loss of the season against Ole Miss, going down as a quad 3 loss on your home floor. And there is nothing positive coming out of this program right now. And as much as Joe Lunardi won't admit it, and as much as the NCAA Tournament Committee won't admit it, they look at the numbers and the resume, but they're just like the College Football Playoff Committee. They look at trends. They look at vibes. They look at what's happening around a program. Do you really think that right now the NCAA Tournament Committee wants to put Auburn in the tournament? A team that has lost 7 of its last 8, has proven the wheels have completely fallen off, and they're just riding down the highway on the rims.
And has become the topic of conversation in the college basketball Twitter world.
For, again, all the wrong reasons. So much so that the paragraph to start bracketology today is all about Auburn and Bruce Pearl and Miami of Ohio. Would you like me to read it for folks that haven't seen it? Because we know the drama. We haven't even talked about it yet. We'll get to it at some point today, I'm sure. But the drama right now, Auburn is in the headlines for all the wrong reasons. Joe Lunardi says, "I try to avoid debates without clear right or wrong answers, but Bruce Pearl's argument against Miami of Ohio as an at-large team requires context. First, high major status aside, we have no idea whether Auburn is the better basketball team. Side note here, people have already started talking, and I think you mentioned it yesterday on the show, that Auburn would be, what, a 7.5-point favorite?
Auburn would be a 6.5-point favorite if they played at Miami of Ohio. They would be a 10.5 or an 11.5-point favorite if they played on a neutral floor, but Auburn was a 10.5-point favorite at home against Ole Miss in the midweek. So you can take that for what you will.
So he says, we have no idea whether Auburn is the better basketball team. Second, Miami has won 4.
Apologies, against Ole Miss on Saturday. This is the midweek.
Correct. Miami has won 4 more true road games than Auburn has played. And road teams in men's college basketball win less than 1/3 of the time. He goes on to say, finally, in the modern history of the NCAA tournament, great mid-majors have won almost twice as many games as middling high majors, despite fewer bids and weaker seeding. Think about that for just a moment. He says, in the history of the NCAA tournament, great mid-major teams, meaning really good teams from lower conferences, from one-bid leagues, great teams from those conferences have won twice as many games as middle-of-the-pack teams from a P5 conference. He says, now I suppose it's possible Miami is the worst undefeated team of all time, and Auburn is the best 500 team we've ever seen. But it's way more likely Bruce Pearl, would be better off leaving bracketology to the professionals. That is the paragraph that Joe Lunardi wrote for today's bracketology.
Not just about Auburn, about the tournament as a whole.
Yep. Tell me things aren't bad on the Plains.
Sip that loud. Sip it into the microphone, actually.
You want me to?
I feel like that's pretty fitting for, yeah, I mean.
Brandon, clip that. Put that on a hotkey, please. Thank you.
All the wrong reasons, man.
Tell me your program is not going the complete wrong direction without telling me your program's going in the complete wrong direction.
Which shows you the exact reasons of the conversations we had yesterday and got phone calls about yesterday about why people are scared to death, and rightfully so, about, yes, we know that this is only 1 year, and we understand that you were expected to have at least a little bit of a drop-off with one returning starter and a new head coach, things like that. But these are the reasons why people are scared to death to look 3 years in the future.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's exactly right.
Auburn, the first team out, the 69th, nice, team rated in the tournament right now, officially on the bubble. But again, I think we've claimed it. They are in bracketology, but not in the bracket.
A texter says in our on-the-line text box, which is open at all times, 334-784-1067, says Auburn players do not want to even be in the tournament. If they did, they wouldn't have lost 14 games. And it's really hard to argue with the idea of, do they even want to be there? Do they even want to play? What does tonight look like?
That's what I was going to say.
Tonight could be ugly.
Forget the 14 losses or whatever. Look at Saturday and look at tonight. That will tell you all that you need to know. The eye test.
But we had somebody text us yesterday saying that they believe this team gave in after the Alabama loss. They said they gave in right then when Auburn lost and blew it at home against Alabama. They said that was the turning point.
And results just became, yeah, sure.
Hard to argue that.
Awesome. We beat Kentucky.
Yeah. Yeah. And we talked about the response from Stephen Pearl after that game. It wasn't a relief.
No.
He didn't really act, I don't know, he wasn't happy, he wasn't relieved, he still seemed kind of tense and stressed and whatever.
And rightfully so, 30 minutes after the game just ended, but you still haven't heard anything and there wasn't a response from it.
Not a verbal response,
a response on the floor.
Right, and that's the bigger problem. And again, that's where so many people are calling him out and calling out his coaching, and that is understandably so, right? That is totally acceptable because there's not a coach in the history of the world that is above criticism. There are some that have a lot longer of a leash, right? That have a lot more room to breathe, right? Nick Saban in his prime at Alabama, Bill Belichick in his prime at the Patriots, Pat Riley in his prime, right? Back in the day, right? All those guys deserve a lot of cushion, but there is never a coach in the history of the world that is above criticism, including first-time head coach, Stephen Pearl.
Which just brings back the entire conversation again of everything that we had yesterday. Had a lot of emotional calls, had a lot of phone calls that you heard plenty of them say, it's not worth getting worked up for. This is what we're going to talk about. This is what we have to see. And is Auburn even going to make the tournament? I think that people say that they shouldn't make the tournament. As this would be that would be a bigger step in the right direction, or a bigger warning shot for what the program could be falling into, than making it to March and then having, or making it to the tournament rather, and then falling into complacency, or falling into just averageness back to in the SEC.
Yeah, they're tough conversations to have. Again, Auburn, the first team out of the NCAA tournament, according to Bracketology today, which raises the question, you've got two games left. We're in the final week of the regular season. Does it feel like that? No.
There's some teams that are playing. They're about to start their conference tournament.
Yeah. Conference tournaments have started. Spring practice has started for some teams across the country. Colorado started yesterday. I believe Florida starts today or tomorrow. You've got spring training about to go. I mean, we're in the first week of March. We're in the last week of the regular season. And Auburn, with two games to go, is on the outside looking in. So it raises the question, what do you have to do? What do you need to do? What can you not do against LSU tonight and Alabama on the road on Saturday? We talk about that when we come back, because Auburn finds itself in a unique position, one it has not been in quite some time. But guess what? The Tigers still control their own destiny. We talk about that and what the Tigers need to do right after this. We're 30 minutes into hour number one here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Stick around.
You're 30 minutes into On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Now back to the studio with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
30 minutes into the Tuesday edition of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. We appreciate you being with us. So we're talking Auburn basketball as they head into the final week of the regular season. LSU comes to town tonight. Hope you have some Red Bull and coffee and, I don't know, anything else that can help you stay awake, I guess. Go home, take a nap, and then go. I don't know. Stay up, listen, watch it, do whatever you want to do. But we'll be there tonight inside of Neville Arena. 9 o'clock tip between Auburn and LSU, and then Alabama coming up on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa. We're going to talk about what Auburn needs to do in those two games and what they cannot do in those two games if they want to make the NCAA tournament. But before we do, we get to the phone lines here on the show. 334-321-1390. Terry, you're on the line. What's going on, man? How are you?
Hey, guys, if y'all are going to the game, y'all are the ones who are going to need the Red Bull and the coffee.
I've already got it ready. I'm just going to pour them into one another and let it rip, Terry.
Yeah, because y'all have trouble staying awake watching that garbage. this team don't want to go to the NCAA tournament. They're not going to play like it. And do y'all think it would have been better for Stephen Pearl to go out and be a head coach at somewhere and then come back to Auburn if he got the chance to, which I don't think he would have, but if he had have.
Yes, and I think not only would it have been beneficial, Terry, I think he could have and chose not to. I think the plan was always for it to go this way, and the plan has significantly backfired in year one.
Yeah, well, it's never worked. It's worked at, I asked Dan yesterday, he said it worked at Duke. Well, everything works at Duke. You'd have the number one recruiting class every year, everything works.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything works at Duke and North Carolina, almost North Carolina. I just think Stephen Pearl is a bad fit. He should have went and got his feet wet somewhere else. And you know who the most thankful person in the world is going to be? Going to be Tony Barbie. Because after he don't make the tournament this year, he's not going to go down as the worst coach in Auburn history. Stephen Pearl is. Take care, guys.
Thanks, Terry. Appreciate the call. After 1 year is a little harsh, in my opinion. After 1 year is pretty tough. But yes, we had that conversation, and a lot of people are starting to dig up their feelings that they buried when Bruce retired and Steven took over. There was a lot of people excited, a lot of people that questioned it, but most people, Christian, said, we'll give it a chance, we'll see what happens. And that's the best way that I can describe it, is this was the plan, and the plan has backfired. Plain and simple, it backfired.
And it's weird looking at it because when you look at this season as a whole and you just look at the record and I ask you about it, there's obviously frustrations. But if you didn't watch the game by game and I told you, okay, it's actually flipped. You really struggled early on. However, now you're at the point of where you've won 4 of your last 5 or 7 of your last 8. That, I feel like, would put it in a completely different perspective because it would show the change. It would show the growth that this team and the staff has made. Instead, I think that's why the feelings are being dug back up, is because, okay, we saw the frustrations early. We saw the losses early. You saw a couple of things not go your way early in SEC play, but you then responded and beat arguably the hottest team in college basketball right now on a 4-game win streak, where if all you had to do was survive the middle part of your schedule, and you weren't able to do that, and it was okay. Time to get a couple spots back with these last couple of games, and you've just completely fallen on your face. The perspective is so different. If you look at it based off of what it could have been, or based off of the way that certain seasons go, it's like in football when we talk about it, 8-win seasons can come in so many different ways, you know, to where if you're 7-5, 8-win in a bowl game doesn't really feel nice, but if you're 8th win and you go 8-4 over a rival, that makes things feel a whole lot better. But right now, you're seeing the very worst of it, and whether this is a plan that is completely backfiring, if people are still at the point of hoping to give one more year, hoping to give a true healthy roster rather than a bandaged together 6.5-man rotation at times, another chance. But that's a lot easier said than done when certain things don't go your way or certain things you're able to bounce back from, which you haven't been able to do.
The Duke comparison is fascinating. And Terry said that Dan mentioned that on the show yesterday. I hadn't thought about that because we had talked about what program would have done what Auburn did, but Duke did it with John Shire. He had never been a head coach.
Yeah,
he was an assistant at Duke for a decade. And I had thought, didn't he fill in at some point? Didn't he have a couple of games he had won when Coach K was in COVID-19 protocol in 2021, I think?
You just feel like that transition was a little bit smoother. It felt like that was one of those Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle type things where you're training him up for so many years rather than, okay, here you go.
Yeah, and I feel like, too, down the stretch of Coach K, it was more known that
right.
John Shire was going to take over.
Because Coach K even talked about Shire was the one that was making in-game decisions, and it was almost he was just the front and the face of Duke, rather than it being Bruce Pearl. Okay, here you go.
Yeah. Steven, like you said.
Right.
All right, here you go. Yeah, and toss him out of the nest and hope he flies. John Shire had flight training. Steven Pearl clearly did not. And you can blame whoever. You can blame Bruce. You can blame Steven. You can blame John Cohen. You can blame everybody involved. That's totally up to you. But that's kind of where we are. And bringing it back to the basketball focus here, Auburn's outside the NCAA tournament right now. According to Joe Lunardi, today in Bracketology, Auburn is the first team out of the NCAA tournament. But you can win your way back in. You've got to beat LSU tonight. And then it brings up Alabama. So let's dive into this. Phone lines are open again, 334-321-1390. If you have thoughts on this question, or if you want to text us at 334-784-1067, Auburn being the first team out, the 69th team in bracketology, you have 2 games left. Home against LSU tonight, and on the road in Alabama Saturday night. For Auburn to get into the tournament, what do the Tigers have to do?
Emotions out of it. Weirdly enough, just based off the numbers, and a win over Alabama, say you lose tonight, you beat Alabama, weirdly enough, you probably end up getting in, but in the eye test, why should a win over Alabama give you oomph over a loss at home to Ole Miss?
You think losing tonight and beating Alabama gets you in?
I think numbers-wise it would say yes, because it would look better. I think it would be a really high-quality win. Again, talking about what Joe Lunardi talked about in the very opening paragraph of all of bracketology, talking about teams on the road only win one third of the time. And so I think in the way that we know that the quad one system works, I think if that is the case, then that would be the most Auburn way to go about things. But not saying that that's going to be the case. But if you put one and one into perspective, if it's a win tonight, it's a loss to Alabama, and you take away a lot of the sub-bullet points that can go into that conversation of, okay, the eye test. How did Auburn look? Was this a 20-point win by Alabama, or was this a 2-point win at Alabama? Did they show any fight? Did they show any resilience, anything like that? Taking those sub-bullet points just completely out of the conversation.
You're looking at the result.
You look at one and one. You look at one win, one loss, with that most likely being a win tonight, loss at Alabama, just from the sake of this conversation. If that's the case, you need a last four team to lose a spot, and you can't have a team behind you obviously make that big of a jump to where they then jump you, and they become the 68th team in the tournament. You look at Santa Clara, who's in front of Auburn right now. They're in the conference tournament. I have a weird feeling that spot's probably locked down because they're not going to kick them out if they go one and done in the conference tournament. They could, but I would be surprised if that's the case. You look at Ohio State. Ohio State has at Penn State and Indiana left. We'll get to Ohio State and Indiana here in just a minute. Because, funny enough, it's on the hardwood, not on the football field, where it's actually a really big game for both of those programs. New Mexico has Colorado State and Utah State left. They lost their first game to Utah State. That's their final game of the season. And then Indiana has
Minnesota. Minnesota.
Indiana has Minnesota and then at Ohio State. Ohio State and Indiana will be a play-in game for the conference or for the March Madness tournament because both of those teams are the last four category in. Auburn needs a loss from one of those teams in the midweek and then arguably that team to either lose again or one of those wins to look really ugly.
Yeah, because Indiana's got Minnesota tomorrow, like you said, Ohio State, Penn State. They should win those
Ohio
games.
State should dominate Penn State.
Penn State's the worst team in the Big Ten.
Right. Indiana has Minnesota. They lost to Minnesota in the opening game, but it's back at home, which makes things a lot more confident for Indiana. And then you go to Ohio State. If both of those teams split the first two games and make it to where all of a sudden the team that lost then beats Ohio, if Indiana loses tonight but then beats Ohio State, it's almost a wash. And you could see those teams just completely find their way in at 67 and 68th. And that would be the worst case, the doomsday scenario for Auburn if that one-and-one conversation is what happens to the Tigers.
Right. I think if Auburn goes 2-0, I think you find your way back in.
Easily, yes.
I think you find your way back in, beating LSU tonight and finding a way to upset Alabama on Saturday night in Tuscaloosa.
Yes.
I think that is, I think everybody would agree with that. It would be impossible with Auburn being the first team out, with them going and getting their second best win of the year being Saturday at Alabama, only behind the win at Florida, right? I think it would be impossible for Auburn to not find their way back in. They might be playing in Dayton, but they're going to be in.
I think Dayton will be round one regardless if you are in the tournament. I don't think even if you go 2-0, I don't think you jump up into a bye.
Could be. I think a lot of that depends on what happens in front of you too. But you go 2-0, I think everybody agrees Auburn is in the NCAA tournament. Then you start having all these hypotheticals, which is what they are. Let's do the two extremes. 2-0, you're in. 0-2, you're out. Right? I think everybody agrees on that. You're out of the tournament right now if you don't win another game in the regular season, unless you just go nuclear and win the SEC tournament and don't give them a chance. How drunk in Auburn would that be? My gosh.
Either that or you'd go 0-2 and then you'd make it to Saturday.
Or Sunday.
And then lose. Sunday would be too perfect. You'd lose on Saturday on a heartbreaker to where if you just won one more
game. To where you still have to watch the selection show to see if you're in.
Yeah.
Yeah. God, that I don't even think about that. We'll get to that scenario next week when it happens. But the extremes here over the next two games for Auburn basketball to make the tournament or miss the tournament, you go 2-0, you're in. You go 0-2, you're out. I think everybody agrees on that. The debate is going 1-1. And which 1-1 do you get? Right? Let's play our favorite game. What if Auburn wins tonight and loses to Alabama this weekend? Not bringing any other game, like you just broke it down nicely, Christian. Take every other team and game out of the scenario in a vacuum. Auburn wins tonight and loses to Alabama. I don't care how, I don't care why, I don't care about what the score is. Auburn wins tonight against LSU, loses on Saturday against Alabama. Are the Tigers in?
No.
Why?
Because at that point, I don't think a win over LSU is anything that's going to build any sort of quality to what the entire season has already shown.
I 100% agree. So with that mindset, I assume that if we flip it, Auburn goes 1-1, losing tonight against LSU and beating Alabama. I think you said it a minute ago. You think that's good enough? Even that is good enough to get you in.
I think that would be a really dirty work, but yes. I think the numbers... The numbers of bracketology would then go in your favor a little bit more, even though from us that watch every 40-minute contest would know that, okay, by no means is that one a win at Alabama. Yes, the win at Alabama would be nice, but take that side out of things. Just a win on the road against a really, really good team that's won seven straight, and somehow when the first line came out tonight, Alabama was the underdog against Georgia and Athens, which is beyond me. It's then flipped on its head because people saw that. Yeah, Georgia opened up as a 2.5-point favorite.
Yikes.
That lasted for about 30 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
But you take that win, the numbers I think would benefit you more. But looking at the eye test of, man, this team just lost to Ole Miss and then also lost to LSU with a loss to Mississippi State and Oklahoma all in the same 14-day span. The eye test would not want me to get in, but I think the numbers on the Lenardi side of things would then put Auburn in.
See, weirdly enough, I disagree. I don't, and I've talked all season long about how quad one games on your resume are everything. No matter whether you win or lose them, they're everything. And the tournament committee loves that, and they don't punish you for those, and they reward you for wins and reward you for playing them and things like that. I've seen this story, I've seen this movie, read this book too many times with the NCAA tournament committee. I think they changed their ways down the stretch. I think recency bias is a big thing. I think they change how they view teams. I think they change how they judge teams, which I guess they're allowed to do. It's not written in stone on how they're supposed to do it, which is a major flaw in the whole system that nobody likes to talk about. But I feel like if Auburn loses tonight, and it may already have happened, I think the committee's probably written them off. Auburn, the committee might not even watch the game on Saturday night, especially if Auburn loses tonight. If they haven't written Auburn off already, a loss tonight, I think, would do it to where the committee turns it off and doesn't watch Auburn again this season. They make up their mind and they move on.
And at worst, a win at Alabama would then put them right back into the spot that we're talking about right now of,
yep,
you're the last team, yep, or you're the first team out and you need a whole lot of help with the last four byes or the last four in.
And going into the SEC tournament, that is not where you want to be, because historically, you get no help from that.
No, I mean, again, with the championship on Sunday, they don't change anything.
No, they don't.
After Friday afternoon at the very worst.
So in your opinion, the only thing Auburn cannot do is go 0-2. In these last two games, your
opinion... If you are looking at Auburn...
In a vacuum,
in a vacuum, only vacuum, yes. The only thing they cannot do, which hurts to say because, again, I understand this, but I weirdly think that Auburn gets more love in the numbers because people don't watch all of these games.
See, I'm the opposite. I think the only thing Auburn can do is go 2-0. I really do. I think Auburn can only go 2-0. Because here's what I compare it to before we get to break. I compare it to a golf tournament. All right? You've played the first 3 days. You're in the leaderboard. But here comes everybody else. And you're not in the lead. Right? You're probably top five. But you're a couple of holes ahead of everybody. Right? You've got 3 holes to play. Scotty's got 5 holes to play behind you. And you know you've got to score to win. You cannot par out 16, 17, 18. Right? You cannot par out, meaning just go even the rest of the way and expect to win. I compare that to what Auburn has in front of them right now. You cannot go even, meaning beat LSU tonight because you're supposed to, and lose to Alabama on Saturday and expect to move up. Could things happen around you that are out of your control? Sure, but why would you bank on that? Why would you want to rely on that? That's a death wish. And I'm not saying the Auburn team has that mentality or Stephen Pearl has that mentality, but for us in this business, we talk about it this way. For Auburn, you've got to score. You got to go birdie. You got to go make a move. You've got to go make some noise down the stretch on the last few holes of this golf tournament and force yourself up the leaderboard, force yourself back into bracketology, force yourself back into the tournament. And I think the only way you do that is get a par on 17 tonight by beating LSU and birdieing the 72nd hole against Alabama. That's how I feel with Auburn right now. And you have every opportunity to do that. Would you rather be in and comfortable and it not matter in the last week of the season? Sure. But Auburn's not there. And it starts tonight with a big game against LSU. We'll talk about that later on in the show. But we'll take a break. We'll come back, have a quick conversation about baseball, continue that into hour number two. Stick around. We wrap up the first hour right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
All right, wrapping up hour number one here on ESPN 106.7. We got about a minute or so as Auburn baseball is in action tonight as well at Plainsman Park. Samford comes to town. It's one of those pesky in-state midweek games, Mr. Christian Griffin. You know a little bit about this with old Kennesaw and Georgia. I've been seeing all sorts of videos and things going around the internet of the rivalry running deep. Did you ever get a chance to do that when you were there?
No.
You would have loved that, huh?
I would have.
You played at Georgia, just not. You played at their stadium, Georgia. Right?
Yes. Yeah. But no, not there. But no, but it is crazy when you're looking at just these smaller teams that are able to get these big time upsets. Because again, we've talked about it. We talked about it with Coach Butch Thompson on just what that means for those smaller programs, right? I mean, When Sonny DeShera was at Samford and beat Auburn, They talked about what that did to that program for the entire year until they played again. So, I mean, you see what a win like that can do over a big-time program.
Well, we're going to talk to a guy who will be involved in that game tonight, Chase Fralick. He joins us on the phone lines coming up in hour number two, and we talk all things Auburn baseball coming up next.
You are on the line, live on ESPN 106.7, ESPNAU.com, and the Radio Alabama app. To be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067. Bringing you the insight and passion surrounding Auburn athletics, the SEC, and more. This is what Sports Talk Radio should be. Lock it in right here on Auburn Opelika's sports leader, ESPN 106.7. Now, live from Auburn, Alabama, with the guys who tell it like it is and hold nothing back. You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin.
You're on the line here on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Happy Tuesday, everybody. Hope you're doing well as we get underway here in hour number two during On the Line on ESPN 106.7. It is the show that tells you like it is and holds nothing back. I'm your man, Jacob Goins. He is Christian Griffin. We appreciate you being with us on this Tuesday where the sun trying to peek through a little bit this afternoon, and we are underway in the second hour of today's show. But if you missed any of the first 60 minutes, a lot of basketball talk in there as Auburn gets ready for LSU. We'll talk more details on the game itself coming up a little bit later in the show, but talked about bracketology, talked about Auburn being the first team out. That's right. Joe Lunardi says today at ESPN that Auburn is the first team on the outside looking in of the NCAA tournament bracket. We talked about what that means, how Auburn can find their way back in, and what they must do or cannot do in their final two games of the regular season. So talked a lot about that in hour number one. Had a little baseball conversation in the first hour, so if you missed any of it, you can always go back and listen to the podcast version of the show on our station website at ESPNAU.com. And coming up here in hour number two, we continue talking Auburn baseball as the Tigers host Samford tonight and then have Winthrop coming in this weekend, coming off the series win over Nebraska. So we're going to talk about that here in the second hour, plus do a deep dive into Auburn and LSU. It's a game that's had me worried for weeks, folks. I've talked about that LSU team. They might be near the bottom, but they are feisty. We'll talk about that coming up in just a little bit. But we continue a weekly tradition of Auburn baseball conversations with members of the team. And earlier this morning, I had a chance to catch up with one of the hottest bats for Auburn right now. The sophomore, Chase Frelick of Auburn Baseball, joins us right now. Jacob Goins with you on ESPN 106.7, Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. We continue our coverage of Auburn baseball as the Tigers are just barreling through the non-conference schedule. SEC play right around the corner, and we're happy to continue weekly conversations with members of the Auburn baseball team and another player joining us on the airwaves today. We've got Chase Frelick with us on the phone lines right now from Auburn baseball. Chase, it's great to have you on, my man. You're off to a great start this season, and we appreciate the time today.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me on.
Well, there's so much to get to with you individually, this team as a whole, because right now it seems to be a whole lot of fun. But I want to rewind just a little bit and talk about you and your career so far, right? You came to Auburn as a freshman, had a really fun year, saw this team and go as far as you did, and then decided to stick it out and come back as a sophomore. What has it been like for you in a short career here at Auburn, but for you as a whole, just what has it been like for you on the plane so far?
It's been incredible. I mean, freshman year, you don't have a whole lot of expectations. You just go out there and you do everything you can to try and earn a spot to make a difference for the team. And last year we had great leaders with Ike, Cooper, Derek Fabian, and all those guys. And they really paved the way for the expectations of the program. And they do a great job setting the table with how you should be as an Auburn baseball player. And then there's no place I'd rather be, and I don't plan on going anywhere else ever, and Auburn's my home, and I'm very grateful that they gave me the opportunity to come back and trying to make the best difference I can for this program.
Well, I mean, the accolades speak for themselves. A year ago as a freshman, first team freshman All-America, also an SEC All-Freshman team member as well. Do those honors, do you like getting those things? Does it mean a lot to you, or were you more excited with the team success from a year ago?
I've always been a team-first guy. The team success has always been more valuable to me, but obviously getting recognized for how you perform during the year isn't a bad thing at all. But having the team go to Super Regionals, hosting it for the first time in Auburn baseball history, that was what meant the most out of last year.
Well, last year had to be a whole lot of fun. Again, you had an incredible season as a freshman, and you have picked right back up where you left off, and you've even improved on it so far in the first several games of the season. Again, Chase Frelick with us on the phone lines here on ESPN 106.7. What was the offseason like coming off of the magical season that was last year, but the disappointing end, bringing a bunch of new guys in, retaining a bunch of guys as well, and kind of building expectations around this team and program? What was the offseason like for you guys as a squad, just with all of those things kind of being a factor?
The offseason was different compared to the season I had coming into my freshman year, because we retained a lot of guys last year versus having 20 new players going into my sophomore year. So we spent the majority of the first month and a half trying to like pave the way of kind of the patterns and all the stuff that we do as an Auburn program, because everybody does it at a different place or at their high school, and kind of setting the way of this is how we do things and setting the standard. And then after we got the standard pretty quick, we just went out there and had a ton of scrimmages and a ton of success, and all the new guys have something different that they bring to the table, and they all do a great job of competing every day with what they bring to the table.
Well, it seems like this is a fun team to be a part of. I mean, even last year, yes, you talk about a lot of those upperclassmen leaders and guys that are no longer at Auburn, but such a young core that all stuck together and came back. I mean, this seems like it's a ton of fun to be in that dugout right now.
It's incredible. Our freshman class was very, very close even before we came to campus, and I think we brought in 14 guys last year when we all came in, and we've been super tight, and none of us wanted to go anywhere else besides staying at Auburn. And we have a young core. Even a lot of the transfers we brought in are sophomores and juniors. So it's a ton of energy. I mean, Butch Thompson likes to say that we need to raise our maturity a little bit when we're on the field, but when we're off the field and in the dugout, there's a great vibe and everyone's rooting for each other.
Well, maturity is a big thing on the field, but it's baseball, man. You got to be a little immature and have the child come out in you sometimes. That's what makes this sport so great.
Absolutely, yeah. The kind of the child stuff gets you through the day sometimes when you have all these guys cracking jokes. Makes time fly way faster, especially for practice and everything like that. But everyone knows when to turn the light switch on and compete and be mature. But having fun off the field is what made us so close and such a great team.
Well, Auburn is off to a great start so far this season. Auburn baseball 9-2 overall. Those two losses coming to Cincinnati in that midweek back on February 17th and then dropping game one this past weekend against Nebraska. But some really good wins on this resume as we're talking with sophomore Chase Fralick here on ESPN 106.7. And what to have you summarize the season up to this point, Chase? I mean, you had the sweep over Youngstown State, the tough loss to Cincinnati, as I mentioned in the midweek. You guys bounce back with a series win, but a sweep in Arlington, right over three big name programs, and then coming off the series win over Nebraska. How would you summarize the season up to this point, heading into a midweek game tonight, the final non-conference series, and then boom, SEC play is here?
I think the team's in a great spot. Our pitching staff has been dynamic all season, and the past week our hitters have really found the groove and kind of our approach to each game, depending on the starting pitcher or what Coach Gabe has us wanting to do at the plate. And everyone's kind of found their role and everyone's thriving right now and on both sides of the ball.
Well, you mentioned Gabe right there, and that it's funny because I wanted to lean into that a little bit with plate mindset. When you step into the box or what the coaching staff is walking you guys through, how does that change when you go from Youngstown State in the opener, then you go to Arlington taking on a couple of programs in Florida State and Louisville that expect to be in postseason play? And even with Nebraska, as the competition starts to stack again as SEC plays around the corner, do they have you guys in your mindset changing at all in the box, or are you a guy that is consistent and stays the same?
It's just stay consistent. We all have our plans that we want to do at the plate. Obviously, your plan differs depending on the team and the way they pitch each person, righties or lefties. And I think Gabe spends more time than anybody I've ever seen of dissecting starting pitchers and relief pitchers for any team that we're playing. Mm-hmm. And the plan that he gives us 95% of the time, if not more, is exactly what we have in our meetings going forward. So we know exactly what we're going to get, and it's just going out there and executing.
I mean, it's not a full guarantee that you're going to win the game or take advantage of a pitcher, but it helps to know what's coming, huh? Helps to know that your guys have your back and you at least have a pretty good idea of what you're going to see anytime you go out there.
Absolutely. I mean, knowing his tendencies and where he likes to throw the ball and everything like that, it just gives you a better plan and that extra confidence to go out there and do what you're here to do.
Well, Auburn baseball, again, coming off of the series win against Nebraska. Samford is in town tonight at Plainsman Park. That game starting at 6 o'clock, pregame at 5:45. That game here on ESPN 106.7. And, Chase, want to talk about that Nebraska series. It's a series win, yes, but Friday night had to be a little tough for this team, where Marciano started, several run lead late, and you come up short. Nebraska team that was feisty, they never gave up, and they win 9-8 in extra innings. What was it like Friday night after that game, and how did you feed off of that going into Saturday and Sunday as a team?
I mean, Friday night was definitely tough, like you said, but we had full faith in Sanders starting our game on Saturday, and we made that game really competitive on Friday, where they had to bring in a lot of relievers. And we knew that if we did our job of getting the starter out of the game, we'd have a lot of success the rest of the weekend. And obviously winning series on Sunday is what we're here to do.
Yeah, and the numbers here offensively for you guys as a team have been incredible. I mean, games of 17 runs, 8 runs, 10 runs, 8 runs, 15, 12. I mean, the bats are just on fire right now. And what I love, Chase, is that it's 1 through 9, and it doesn't matter who it is. It's not a top-heavy roster. It's not a top-heavy rotation. Like, they're everybody in this batting order, no matter who gets the start on a day, everybody can hit, everybody can get on base, and then the mindset on the base path is get them on, get them over, get them in, and it just seems like you guys are an annoying team is what we've described it as, because you're scoring in almost every inning right now.
Yeah, I mean, that's the goal. I mean, we have one of our big goals for this season is getting the leadoff man on every inning, and when we do that, we have a really high chance of scoring because we have a lot of guys that can run and are very dynamic on the bases and a lot of guys that can handle the bat really well. So when we get those opportunities to score, we know how valuable each and every run is in this league, and we're doing our best to score in each and every one. And one run an inning is sometimes better than that big three run inning that you get once every 5-6 innings. But getting that one every inning usually wins big games, keeping that momentum.
Jacob Goetz with you on ESPN 106.7. We got Auburn baseball sophomore Chase Frelick with us on the phone lines. My man, you're hitting .405 right now. I don't know if you knew that or if you look at that or if you are a big numbers guy for yourself. Obviously, you said you're a team guy. You're leading the team in home runs right now. You're hitting .405. I mean, your slugging percentage is through the roof. I mean, what is it right now? Is it just early season comfort or is it a confidence that you've got? It kind of walk us through what your early momentum is right now, is again, you're one of the hottest hitters in the SEC.
I mean, it's just going up there and doing the job that the team asked me to do. Home runs aren't what you're trying to do at the plate, but I made some tweaks this past winter trying to get some more balls in the air, and I've done that pretty well to start the year this year. But I mean, just about every guy on this team in this lineup can hit the ball out of the ballpark in any given moment. And I don't expect to be leading the team, and if I do lead the team all year, that's great, but I think we'll have plenty of guys in that double-digit home run number by the end of the year.
The baseball nerd in me has to ask, what'd you change? What slight tweaks did you make? Who pointed them out? What did you do to try and get some more balls in play? What'd you do in the offseason?
I have my hitting coach back home in Peachtree City, and we just worked on just getting balls to spin more with some backspin leading to some more carry, because I had a lot of balls last year that I hit very low and good doubles and stuff, but just getting that ball out of the ballpark was kind of more of a posture tweak with myself. I was kind of hunched over. Now I'm trying to stand up straight a little bit more, and it's led to some good results getting some more balls in the air.
I would say so. Again, off to a nice start so far. 12 RBIs for you as well, and one of the power hitters, the big hitters in this Auburn lineup right now is Chase Frelick. And coming in tonight, Chase, you've got another midweek game, but it's these types of midweek games against SEC opponents like yourself that a team like Samford, they love these games. It's the in-state foe. It's their big moment. They love to come in and try to pull off the upset. What can you tell us about this Samford team tonight and what you guys are going to see for Military Appreciation Night?
I mean, they're a great team. Every team that comes in here is a great team, and we don't treat any team differently than any other team, and we're just going to go out there and play Auburn baseball, and if we play Auburn baseball the way we can play it, I think we have a good chance to get a W tonight.
Samford tonight, Winthrop this weekend, another in-state opponent next week in UAB. And then, as I mentioned, I don't know if you guys are feeling this way, the idea that it's already SEC play in about a week and a half. And is there anything you, Chase, can take from what you went through as a freshman last year in SEC play that you can carry into this year and maybe be one of the leaders in this clubhouse for Auburn?
It's just treat every week like it's a new one, regardless if you hit 800 or if you didn't have a hit on the weekend. Each weekend's a new weekend, and doing your best to win every weekend throughout these 10 weeks of conference play leads you ultimately to being in a good spot once postseason play comes. So it's just doing everything you can to win each and every weekend, and these midweeks mean just as much as the weekends do, and every win matters. So it's treating every game the same and going out there and playing our brand of baseball.
I love it. I love it. Sounds like a mentality for Auburn baseball as a program. Again, off to a very nice start. Samford coming into town tonight, 6 o'clock first pitch over at Plainsman Park. We'll have the radio broadcast for you here tonight on ESPN 106.7 with basketball being on Wings 94.3. Sophomore Chase Fralick with us on the phone lines. My man, it was great to talk to you. We greatly appreciate your time, and good luck tonight and the rest of the season.
Awesome. Thank you, guys. War Eagle.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. If you want to be on the line, call 334-321-1390 or text 334-784-1067.
All right, we continue on here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line. Thanks to Chase Fralick, or as we called him last year, and he's carried that on this year, Chase Ricklick, one of the hottest hitters on the team, one of the hottest hitters in the SEC, leads the team in home runs right now, does Mr. Fralick for Auburn baseball. So I appreciate him taking the time and talk with me earlier this morning before the Tigers get ready for Samford coming in tonight.
It should be a very fun matchup. Again, we got to talk a little bit about it on the way out, but just what a game this is going to be. Again, just from the Samford perspective, they're going to do everything they can. They're most likely going to throw either their ace or their number two because this is such a big game for them. And Butch Thompson has done such a good job in understanding that and respecting your opponent from that aspect of understanding that you're going to get a team's best, a program's best, and you have to find a way to build that up with your team as well, because otherwise you're going to see some of those midweek results that you've seen all season long throughout the SEC.
Yeah, and so Auburn against Samford coming in tonight at Plainsman Park. That radio broadcast on the Auburn Sports Network, Brad Law will be on the call. We'll have that for you here on ESPN 106.7 because of men's basketball being over on Wings 94.3, and so you'll be able to listen to baseball, and then hopefully it's a quick game, it'll be done, and you can flip on over to Wings 94.3 and listen to basketball tonight as well. But want to recap just a hair the series against Nebraska that Auburn just came off of. Series win, which is always nice, and you love that, and in SEC play it will be rare for us to downgrade or, you know, poo-poo on a win in SEC play for a series, right? But Auburn coming out of this series against Nebraska, again, the win is great, but it probably should have been a sweep. Should have been, could have been, and would have been nice to have been a sweep.
That's one of those games that you won't look at it as much as the season works its way, but you mentioned it in conference play. Those are the types of games that you can't have because of what the SEC is going to do this year. It's what we talk about of if you're at home, find a way to take the series. If you get greedy, find a way to get a sweep. Because if you go 2-1 at home, 1-2 on the road, you're going to finish 15-15. How big is just that one game where you could have gotten that Sunday win or that Friday night win? All of a sudden you're 15-15. That turns you to 16-14. Okay, all of a sudden, instead of getting swept, you're able to steal one on the road. Or instead of winning one, you take the series on the road. All of a sudden, 16-14 becomes 17-13. Those two games put you in such a spot to not only set you up for the postseason, but to host regionals and or super regionals based off of what else you're able to do in conference play. And so, again, you're going to take that with what you can. And you're happy that it happened early on because of the response that Butch Thompson challenged with these guys. And my goodness, did they find a way to respond, especially at the plate.
Yeah, they did. And again, they proved in the games on Saturday and Sunday that they were the dominant team, right? That they were the better team, that they were the team who should have won this series. But it's hard not to look back at what happened Friday night and say, as you said, it just can't happen, man. No. In a game where you start Jake Marciano, who again just absolutely shoves, you have a 3-run lead with 6 outs to go, and not only do you give it up, you can't come back and you lose the ball game, right? You're right. The further you get into SEC play, we won't even talk about this Nebraska game, but we should talk about the stats for this Auburn baseball team, because after the first weekend of the year, we were like, man, I don't know, where are the bats for this team that we talked about all offseason? They've come to play. They're showing up, and I expect them to be on point again tonight.
You feel as if Friday night was a little bit of an outlier just from the standpoint of how good the pitching has been and then the giving up the lead late, right? I mean, Auburn scores 8 runs in a contest. With the pitching staff that Auburn has, you feel very comfortable that they win that contest if you score 8 runs in a contest. You were up 5-2 after the fourth inning because, again, Marciano went 5 innings, 9 strikeouts, again, gave up 2 runs, but didn't walk a batter. And, I mean, just absolutely, again, shoved, as he does just about every single time the Southpaw steps on the mound. But 3 runs for Nebraska in the top of the 8th, tie it at 5. You work your way into extras, and you give up 1, and then the 3-run homer happens. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of the exclamation point on, all right, okay, well, time to try and get him Saturday. But then the 10th inning, the home half, took quite a long time too. Auburn's able to score 3 and a pop out to end the game with a runner in scoring position, trying to either tie it or take the lead with an extra base hit. We're unable to do so, but you saw the resilience, you saw the response from what the guys did at the plate, and it goes to show you a very similar conversation that Coach Everett Tiefert talked to us about after inning number 1 in Florida State, or at Florida State, or I guess against Florida State in Arlington, where, man, if you lose your focus for one pitch, a guy is going to make you pay. And so making sure that you have your mental toughness, your mental focus, because obviously easier said than done, but that breaking ball is a little bit further down. Instead of a 3-run home run, it's a ground out. All of a sudden, you're out of the inning. Then you allow on your offense to go and win the game in the home half of the 10th.
Yeah, so you pair all that with, again, the pitching staff who is playing well, the hitters who, again, no matter, and that's what I was talking about with Chase. It's like, and it feels like no matter who it is, the 1 guy, the 9 guy, I mean, it doesn't matter. Pinch runner, pinch hitter, no matter what. I mean, feels like everybody's making an impact on this Auburn baseball team right now, including a freshman, Mason McCrane, who brings home SEC Freshman of the Week last week. How about this? 6 hits, a homer, his first career homer, with 8 RBIs in 4 games last week for Auburn.
I think it's solid.
It's pretty strong for a freshman in his, what, first month? For 3 weeks,
yeah,
first 3 weeks of playing collegiate D1 P4 baseball.
Yeah, and Auburn makes it back-to-back following Ethan Biggeman winning it last week from the performance in Arlington, hitting a couple of home runs and just having a really, really solid week. Overall, this staff did such a good job being able to retain the guys that were here last year, go and get high-value transfer guys, and then the freshman class in there as well. You feel like all 3 phases have taken a major step up, that being pitching, offense, and then just defense and special teams on the base running sides of things. Every one of them has taken a major step up, and it's really, really exciting to see.
Starting pitchers for Auburn right now, in 56 innings pitched, Christian, 88 strikeouts, 8 walks. In those 56 innings, Auburn starters on the mound are averaging 1.5 strikeouts. They are averaging 0.1 walks. So,
as a team, it's 140-25.
That's ridiculous, man. Hopefully Auburn can keep it up tonight with Sanford coming to town. We're flipping to the hardwood right after this.
We're halfway through hour number 2. You've got 30 more minutes of On the Line on ESPN 106.7. Auburn Opelika's sports leader.
We've got 30 more minutes here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7. He is Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Phone lines are open. If you want to be a part of today's show, give us a call, 334-321-1390. Tell us if you are paying attention in any capacity tonight for Auburn basketball against LSU. Because that's where we go now. That's where we talk. Auburn, LSU, Tiger Bowl tonight. Inside of Neville Arena with a 9 o'clock, technically 9:05 tip time is what the scheduled tip is for Auburn basketball tonight against LSU. Just a little 5-minute TV buffer, you know.
What's on before? I haven't even looked at it yet.
This game's on SEC Network, I believe, for television, so I don't know what the other. I think it's a triple header. I think there's 2 games ahead of Auburn tonight.
It is. Tennessee, South Carolina is a 5 o'clock start. So they basically had, yeah, 1 extra game that they needed to.
Which, that game shouldn't be anything crazy. Who's the other game?
So 5 o'clock.
Is Alabama, Georgia ahead of us? Oh, no.
No, that's the 5:30 ESPN news game, I think.
Gross.
Yeah. Where Alabama, again, I told you, when the line first came out, Georgia was favored by 2.5. That's almost completely flipped. Alabama's a 1.5 favorite.
That game is on
for
ESPN
for anybody that has
news.
Major interest.
That's terrible.
They decided to put the 3 supposedly blowouts all in a row because of Tennessee, South Carolina, Mississippi State goes to Florida at 7, and then what they were expecting to be another 20-point favorite. It's only 9 now. Auburn and LSU.
Auburn's a 9-point favorite against LSU.
9.5, yeah.
Buddy, let me tell you. I have not. Ha ha. One. I have not.
It's always when I have my second screen plugged in because I can't control volume on that.
Maybe you shouldn't do that. Have you thought about that? Have you thought about just not doing that? I have not.
No, I actually enjoy scoring more points.
I have not done a JG's guarantee in a long time.
Oh, no.
A long, long time.
Do you want to wait?
No.
Just for a minute before, because this is a game that you have circled and you've talked not as much about on air, but more just in casual conversation.
But you can attest to it. I have talked about this game for weeks.
Yes. So we know it's building, but give us your reasons on why LSU is a little bit scary before you just dive into it, unless you're just going to go straight for it and then give your reasonings.
I will, but somebody just texted us and said it's a tough decision because NCIS comes back on tonight. The NCIS season's return tonight,
man,
on television, which, dude.
How many first half watchers will there be in the next you wake up and you check your phone in the morning?
I'm sure a lot. Eric just texted us. They have changed their name for baseball season. They are now On the Line Drivers.
There we go.
Yep. He says, On the Line Drivers, take a drink every time Christian's computer plays an ad. On a Tuesday, I don't know if I condone day drinking at 3:30, but hey, man, here you go, Eric. This is for you. There you go. Get you another one. FCC just shut us down, in case you didn't know. Someone says Moonshiners as well. I don't even know what show that is, but there you go. So people are having debates on whether they're going to.
I think that's because of Auburn basketball.
Probably, yeah. This guy and Eric must be buddies. They're both talking some form of alcohol consumption this evening, so.
We do not condone that.
Hey,
nor
you can have alcohol consumption at Neville tonight for discounts. In case you hadn't seen that, I'm not going into it. You can find what we're talking about, and my goodness.
Thanks for a great year.
Yeah, literally. Thank you so much, Auburn fans. We appreciate you so much. Never mind.
We do not condone that, nor do we condone taking a look at Auburn being a 9.5-point favorite. But
LSU is a scary team, man. They're a scary team that if you have not been watching them, you will say, come on, Jacob, don't stop. You're trying to build hype. You're trying to get clicks or whatever, which is funny for radio, right? LSU is a team that Auburn needs to worry about. And if you want to start dunking on LSU and talking trash about them, may I let you know that, dude, get it together, brother. Get it together.
I finally found the volume switch on this thing.
He's only had it for a month.
It's now on 0. We're good to go. Continue.
If you want to dunk on LSU, did you know that they have the same overall record as Auburn does? They're both 15-14. So you want to make fun of one set of Tigers, you got to make fun of both of them, okay? This is an LSU team that lost to Auburn, and I'm going to talk about a lot of close losses, and my inner soul is yelling at me, but just bear with me here. They lost on the road at Arkansas by 4. The second Arkansas game was not good. The Tennessee game, they lost by 10, but they were in it down the stretch. The Texas game, they lost by 3. The Alabama game, they lost by 7. They were in it down the stretch. They beat Ole Miss in Oxford. They beat Ole Miss. So did Auburn in Oxford first time. They didn't beat them.
Kentucky had to beat them on a buzzer beater.
Oh, yeah. Kentucky had to beat them on a buzzer beater. They had it against Vanderbilt and blew it. They lost to Texas A&M by 3. This is an LSU team that has a lot of close losses. There's a difference in a close loss versus a good loss. I don't believe in good losses. But close losses I do, and I've watched this LSU team enough to know that you have to beat them, and you have to play them for 40 minutes. They're like a cockroach, man. They just refuse to die, and that's what's walking into Neville Arena tonight. Going up against a team in Auburn that may have died weeks ago, that may have given up weeks ago, that may have left the nest and went to find a new home. That's what's going on tonight. And LSU's got a couple of dudes that will torch Auburn if you let them. Max McKinnon is one. Markell Sutton's another. And Nwoku's another. Those are all guys that will take Auburn to the mat tonight. In a 9 o'clock start where most of the Auburn fan base has given up on this team, it'll be a half-empty arena tonight at best. And LSU has played everybody they have gone up against tough. I have had this one circled on Auburn's schedule for a long time. Auburn better come ready to play.
You mentioned it. They have 5 losses by a combined 18 points, including in that category, one of those by 7. That is not including 3 by 10 to 12, which goes to show you that it was much closer than that until probably the free throw game or the final 2 minutes of the contest where you had a couple of dagger shots. But definitely, again, they're technically tied for last in the SEC, but as was Ole Miss.
You can't look at records and logos tonight, man. This LSU team will bring it to you. They rebound about 37 times a game. They turn it over about 10 times a game. They don't shoot it particularly well. They only shoot it 47% from the floor, 77% from the free throw line, and just 33% from three. They're not a good scoring team by any means, but they're defensively sound. They get up and down the floor, and I'm telling you, you have to play them for 40 minutes. But good thing is Auburn plays 40-minute basketball games, right? Auburn is known for playing the entire game and not giving up for a single possession, right?
That, and they're known for really good guard play defensively, and it's their two guards that average a combined 30.8 points of the team. You also have two forwards that average 13 as well. So it will be 4 to maybe 5 guys, if Jalen Reed gets going, that are going to make a big-time threat unless Auburn has somebody like, hold on, let's play our game. P.J. Carter shoots 34% from 3, averages 4.5 a game. There's my guy tonight. Double digits. Book it.
The most points LSU has scored in an SEC game this season in regulation is 85.
Ain't no way that that changes.
Think about that. The only game they've scored the highest, the most amount of points. I was trying to figure out a way I wanted to say that. The most amount of points LSU has scored in an SEC game in regulation is 85. They have an 85-point performance, an 83-point performance against Alabama, an 81-point performance against Arkansas. They've broken 80 3 times in SEC play in regulation. I say that because they have 2 overtime games where they scored 92 against South Carolina and 106 against Ole Miss in double overtime. This team is not offensively good. They are offensively challenged, but Auburn is defensively challenged.
What was the Auburn's, is it 341st or some crazy stat on opposing 3-point shooting percentage? That Auburn is, there's no more than 10
or 15.
Oh, yeah,
teams are shooting 37% against Auburn from behind the arc.
Yeah.
Yeah. So compare that to LSU, that would be 4% better than their season average, which doesn't sound like a lot, but it is.
Well, yeah, when you take one game versus an entire season, that's
a heck of a lot.
But how many times have we heard it in the post-game press conference? He did it against Ole Miss. Stephen Pearl did of, this is a team that makes, 4.5 threes a game, and they made 9, or whatever the case is. How many times has that been brought up in post-game conversations?
A lot. I'm telling you, Auburn better be ready to play tonight. A team that season may already be over, but you still control your own destiny, and that's what we talked about in the first hour with the latest bracketologies, where if you have not looked at it today, Joe Lunardi at ESPN says Auburn is the 69th team out of 68, meaning they are the first team out and looking from the outside in. And we talked about, Christian and I, a little bit different on this, what Auburn needs to do in its next two games with tonight against LSU at home and on the road against Alabama. I said 2-0 get you in. Nothing short of that will get you in. Christian said he believes there's a way where even losing tonight against LSU and winning against Alabama could get you in, but Alabama doesn't get you in. We both agree 0-2 is not an option here. I don't know, man. How do you pick a team in Auburn? Both of these teams are on horrible streaks. I mean, LSU has lost 6 of its last 7. I was looking at you waiting. 6 of its last 7. They've won 2 games in the last 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. They are 2-9 in their last 11 games, brother. They're coming off a 15-point loss. No, more than that. They're coming off of a 17-point loss. Is that right? 16-point loss, whatever that is. 83-67 against Oklahoma at home in Baton Rouge. This is an LSU team that legitimately has nothing to play for. Nothing.
But neither did Ole Miss. But what we have discussed off air is I would be willing to say that winning at Auburn is one of the more exciting wins that you can get on the road, just based off of everything that Auburn stands itself on, based off of environment, based off of toughest places to play, to where even if you don't have anything to play for, knowing that you can almost play spoiler in this situation, and not for playoff hopes, but just postseason hopes for LSU. You're going into a place that won't be hostile tonight. And one of the opportunities to get a nice win that will look relatively solid. It'll be a quad one win for LSU. That's their mentality going into it. You don't have anything to play for, but sometimes when that's the case, you play for everything.
Yeah, and obviously, yeah, they're not trying to build their resume at this point. They are 1-11 in quad one games. Is LSU. So they could double that tonight. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? They could double that tonight with a win over Auburn. Want to look at, before we go to break, and come back and make our final picks, where LSU stands offensively, defensively, and things like that in KenPom. I can't believe that number is accurate. They're 52nd in offensive rating. How in the world is that even possible? They're 52nd in offensive rating. They're 115th in defensive rating. At this point, if tonight's just outscore them, don't even worry about getting stops. Just outscore them. Fine. Whatever. Just do it. I don't care.
It's never made this Auburn team happier to hear that.
Literally. At this point, just do it.
LSU is 206th in adjusted tempo, which plays a little bit of a factor into that rating.
Yeah. Which, why would you not slow... I don't know, though.
But again, Auburn is 187th, and they're 12th, so.
But at the same time, like, watching film on this Auburn team, why would you not want to speed them up? Auburn would love to run with you. They haven't figured out they're not good at it, but they would love to do it. So if you're LSU, come in and run. See what happens tonight. We talk about that luck rating, too. Not that it would help them a ton, but LSU is statistically one of the unluckiest teams in the country. They are 328th in adjusted luck rating on KenPom. So, not great there for the LSU Tigers.
No, definitely not. But Auburn has turned unlucky teams into having really good nights, whether that's luck or whether that's just allowing them to get open shots early, get open shots late. Auburn has to win. Again, what we talked about yesterday, the first two and the last two of each half. The first two, the middle four, and the last two. Hopefully the last two aren't a major factor in the game. But if this is another one of those games that Auburn's up by 7 points with 2 minutes to play in the first half and it's a two-point game, or LSU has the lead, very similar to what happened with Ole Miss where they went on an 8-0 run in the final 2 minutes and that allowed them to propel into the second half, that's when you're really in trouble.
What's Auburn's response tonight How many times have we asked that in the last 2 or 3 weeks?
Or
what's
is tonight,
their response?
Or is tonight just senior night of go score?
Could be. And maybe that's what this team needs. Maybe it is. I don't know. Auburn favored by 9.5, right?
Yeah.
Final home game of the year, 9 o'clock inside of Neville Arena. You can hear the radio broadcast next door on Wings 94.3. We'll talk about it, give our final picks and predictions, and wrap up the show right after this.
You are on the line with Jacob Goins and Christian Griffin. Online at ESPNAU.com and on the Radio Alabama app.
Winding down here on the Tuesday edition of On the Line here on ESPN 106.7 as we got a couple of minutes before we are out of here. The drive will take over for a while. They are on for most of the show. They will end a couple of minutes early with Auburn baseball coming up tonight. We'll have that radio broadcast for you here on ESPN 106.7 starting at 5:45. Brad Law on the call for the Tigers as they host Samford at Plainsman Park, because Auburn men's basketball with LSU tonight is over on Wings 94.3. So keep that in mind, all sorts of things going on here on the station. Tomorrow, we are on the air like normal, but there is no show for the drive with Auburn women's basketball in Greenville, South Carolina, preparing for the SEC tournament in women's basketball. That game and broadcast will begin at 4:45 tomorrow here on ESPN with our buddy Britt Bowen. Tigers take on Texas A&M at 5 o'clock tomorrow. So keep that in mind. They should tell you about that, but all that coming up tonight and tomorrow. And Auburn, LSU tonight, 9 o'clock inside the Neville Arena. Your thoughts, your picks, Auburn and LSU.
Give me the Tigers. Really dumb. We're really excited to welcome back LSU to Jordan-Hare Stadium, get that rivalry once again next year. I can't say that there's a whole lot of excitement of LSU coming to Neville Arena here tonight. I think I'll take Auburn.
I'll take Auburn. I don't think it'll be pretty.
Pretty from the standpoint of just an ugly win, or you don't think the game itself?
Everything. Both? I just think Auburn goes out and outscores them, and I think that's pretty much all you need, all you can do. I mean, just go win. I don't really, at this point, do we really care how it looks?
No.
You lose tonight, your season. I think your season is over. You think there's a path if they even beat Alabama Saturday. I do not. I think tonight is it.
I don't want to think that there is, but...
No, I agree. I hear you. I just...
Numbers-wise, I think it would, but... From the Auburn fan base perspective, a loss tonight would mentally check everybody out if they're not already there.
Yeah, I'm with you. So, again, that game on Wings 94.3 tonight. Broadcast starts at 8:30. Tip-off set for just a few minutes after 9 o'clock. That's on Wings 94.3. AU Baseball is here at 5:45 with first pitch set for 6. And over on 96.3 W Lee on the Auburn High Sports Network, our buddy Jack Hutton is heading over to the softball complex right now. The Lady Tigers on the softball field taking on Beauregard. That game at 5 o'clock. So, you've got all sorts of listening you can do tonight on the Radio Alabama app. So be sure you download that. All of our family of radio stations got something for you, including our show right back here tomorrow, 2 to 4 on ESPN 106.7. We'll talk basketball. We'll talk baseball. A couple of great guests as well. All that here on the Auburn Opelika Sports Leader. Until then, he's Christian Griffin. I'm Jacob Goins. Stay safe. We'll talk to you later.